This economy in five words or less. What is going on? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Tuesday, today, the 23rd day of May. Good as always to have you along, everybody. Our vantage point today as we begin the program is big picture. What's going on? Wide angle. The labor market we know about, strong, very strong. Unemployment's at 3.4%. Wages for most of the lowest paid people in this economy have been going up. And yes, there is inflation, but it is coming down, all of which pretty good. And it turns out when you narrow the scope a little bit and ask people how they feel about their personal economies, they're pretty upbeat. According to a survey from the Federal Reserve this week, almost three quarters of people feel at least okay about their own situations. But you look at consumer confidence from the Conference Board or consumer sentiment. That one is from the University of Michigan. And people seem to think the broader economy is kind of in the tank. Marketplace's Justin Ho is on the Make Sense of This for Us, Would You? Desk today.
If people want to point to something in the economy to be concerned about, they've got plenty of options.
Whether that be inflation, recession, higher rates, debt ceiling more recently.
That's Shannon Seery, an economist at Wells Fargo. She says people see and experience this stuff every day, Seery included.
I'm in the market for a house, so that's a tough market currently with higher rates and still elevated prices.
And higher prices are pretty much triggering.
We really are very sensitive to price increases.
That's Eric Johnson, who studies how consumers think about finance at Columbia Business School. He says there's a name for what's going on here, loss aversion, the idea that a loss feels twice as bad as an equivalent gain feels good. In other words,
if I lose $5, it's going to disturb me much more than gaining $5 makes me happy.
And Johnson says the media tends to focus a lot more on losses, like the loss of purchasing power.
Think about a price increase in gas and how much gnashing of teeth and publicity you hear and how everyone is very upset. Well, gas prices go back down. Nobody's dancing in the streets.
Politics plays a role in how people view the national economy, too. Democrats thought it was worse during the Trump administration. Republicans think it's worse now. But Claudia Somm of Somm Consulting and a former Federal Reserve economist says that doesn't really move the poll numbers.
Because that pattern is so regular, they're always kind of canceling themselves out.
Instead, Somm says the disconnect comes down to the questions you ask. If you query people about the broader economy,
people are very angry about inflation. Makes total sense. But that's different from asking them, how are you doing? Because you may be finding ways to manage it.
People still have jobs. Many still have savings to spend. So even if people are downbeat about the economy,
consumer spending keeps going. Right, if you can keep spending, well, then you're probably doing okay.
And if that continues, Somm says the economy will keep chugging along, regardless of how people feel about it. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
The Marketplace macroeconomic word of the day today is productive. It's an adjective. Effective in bringing about is what it means, say the good people at Merriam-Webster. Somebody might want to tell that to the speechwriters at the White House and in the Speaker's office because they keep writing remarks for their bosses to read that say the debt limit talks have been productive. 9 days till June the 1st, if you're counting, which we are. Also, by the way, Wall Street possibly counting, maybe some debt limit anxiety creeping in. We'll have the details when we do the numbers. We're a bit more than 3 years on now from the beginning of the pandemic, and for most white-collar workers in this economy, not really going to the office. That means there's also more than 3 years' worth of new white-collar workers who, maybe they were in school or in training programs, but who weren't working in an office in the before times and haven't been since. And look, even though a lot of companies have made people come back in person, office culture just ain't what it used to be. Not that it was all good, but there were some benefits. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab spent some time looking at office socialization in young workers' lives.
Yes! four, or three, three, three.
It's a sunny spring evening in Central Park, and a bunch of 20-somethings in light blue t-shirts huddle up near a dusty kickball field. It's the Murray Hill Menace's sixth game of the season, and a lot of them are still just meeting for the first time.
I don't think we met. Okay.
I don't know.
The team is a mix of familiar and unfamiliar faces. Friends, friends of friends, friends of friends of friends. Chloe Cronin is the team captain. She graduated from college in 2021, back when many offices were still playing a game of chicken with in-person work. She moved to New York knowing just one person, a friend from high school.
That was basically my social group for the first 5 months. And it was definitely a hard adjustment coming from being in college and living with five roommates to just having really one friend in the city.
Cronin moved here expecting to meet people at her job in finance. Instead, she's turned to this kickball league called Play NYC. Her office is hybrid, and if you work in a hybrid office, you know how it is.
I almost compare it to a library when my coworkers aren't in, because I'll just go in and then not talk to anyone and just do my work and then leave.
At this point, there are years worth of young workers who entered the workforce through Zoom instead of an office door. And yeah, working from home means they don't have to commute. They can skip the awkward elevator talk. They never have to shiver in sub-zero temperatures. But they're missing a foundational piece of the transition into adulthood. Connie Noonan Hadley, who directs the Institute for Life at Work, says work isn't just a place where people start their careers. It's one of the places they build their first adult friendships.
My heart goes out to all those younger junior professionals who have moved to a new city or just moved out of their parents' house, and they're suddenly finding themselves without a lot to do after hours or without people to sit with at lunch.
People to sit with at lunch, to go to happy hour with, people who become lifelong friends or lifelong partners. And yes, I know that one is frowned upon, but hey, it happens. And Hadley says it isn't just about other people. Work helps us figure out who we are.
Part of what, when you're graduating from college or from high school, you're searching for is your identity. And we know that work plays a huge part of the definition of ourselves as we think about who we are, but also as the person we present to other people.
Of course, there are plenty of ways people can and should develop themselves outside of the office. But the water cooler is an easy and natural place to start. Because Robert Waldinger, who directs the Harvard Study of Adult Development, says work is a place where people share common interests.
We can form bonds around things that we share, even across generations. So we can bond with younger workers or older workers in surprising ways. We get out of our bubbles that may exist in our home life.
That's what motivated Ellen Wieland in Madison, Wisconsin, to take up a bunch of hobbies. She joined a Shakespeare reading group and pottery classes. Because for the first time, at 22, she's on her own. Just her and her cat, Garlic.
The fear that I would just be isolated and totally alone really weighed on me.
She actually likes working from home, and she focuses best there. But she sometimes thinks about driving into work just for lunch.
A couple months ago, we had a really interesting discussion with the life insurance actuaries.
Wieland is an actuary, too. She calculates insurance risks and premiums. And her coworkers got into a debate about competitive eaters.
People who are, like, trained to eat as many hot dogs as they could in a very short period of time. Would you give them higher life insurance rates because they're putting themselves in risky situations? Or would they get lower because they train so hard and pay such close attention to their health and diet outside of competitions? You just don't get those kind of conversations anywhere else.
Well, that's for sure. And they never really did come to a conclusion, because the answer didn't really matter. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
We've been having semi-regular conversations the past couple of years with a woman named Lydia Clark. She owns a cheese shop a mile or so from Marketplace World headquarters here in downtown Los Angeles. And I went to see her again last week, just a couple of minutes before she opened up for the day.
Superette, 363 South Broadway.
That's a new address as of 2 weeks ago. It's on a busy intersection, kitty corner from a high rise and about a block from Grand Central Market, where she had a cheese stall for 9 years. The new DTLA cheese has seating. It's got fresh produce and pantry items like jams and chips.
Hi. Hey, how are you?
Awesome.
Look at this place.
Look at it.
It's huge.
Yeah, actually, more importantly, look at this cheese.
Wait, is that tray for me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, wait, are you guys still doing sandwiches? Because I'm counting on that for lunch.
Yes.
All right, okay.
Even more sandwiches.
It's really good to see you. How
great
you been?
Great to see you.
How you been?
Yeah.
We're going to hug.
Oh, so cool. Look at us.
Okay. All right, you're crying already. We just started.
I know. I'll pull it together.
That's
let's
okay.
stand in front of the cheese.
All right, let's stand in front of the cheese. Is that like your happy place?
Yeah. I mean, look.
The first time we talked to Lydia Clark in December of 2020, the Trump administration had imposed a 25% tariff on dairy products from Europe, and there was a pandemic. And she told me then, straight out, that she didn't know how she was going to make payroll week to week. Things are different for her now. She's got about 10 more employees in the new store. It's a place, I'm just going to say, feels about 100 times bigger.
So is business that good?
More.
Is that what's going on?
I mean, I hope so. I hope we've made the right decision. But
okay, how did you make the decision?
Yeah. Well, the space became available.
Hope is not a business strategy.
Yeah, hope is not. Yeah, but I remember.
For you,
I'm
though.
Not,
that's for you. That's,
yeah.
that's true.
I'm,
for you,
I'm not a good
is.
Businesswoman. I'm a woman that loves her business.
That is true.
You know?
So the space became available.
We opened a little tin fish bar about a year ago.
I'm sorry, tinned fish?
Yeah. And cheese, of course.
Like sardines?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll and get, some
we'll
champagne.
Get, we'll get back
right?
to that.
Yeah. But so when the space became available, we were like, oh my gosh, how could we still stay on this block? I mean, I also live on this block.
Oh,
so I've lived
helps.
On this block for 10 years.
Yeah.
So it's like my home. And after these last years, and I mean, when I think back to when we first had a conversation and
was
it was like the fear of 20% tariff is laughable now. And then the fear of like, we're going to close in a week.
Yeah.
And now to be here and still like serving cheese and look at, I mean, all these like beautiful babies. Without a cheese shop, we still cut to order every piece of cheese.
Yeah.
So it gives all of our farmers and our cheesemakers a place to highlight what they make. And we get to tell their story. It's like, what an honor.
Let's talk business nuts and bolts here for 2 seconds. You had to invest in this place. You had to build it out.
Yeah.
You've got so much more inventory.
Yeah.
This was not a cheap decision for you, this woman running a small business.
No, it was not. We have some very good partners.
Okay.
That also saved us throughout the pandemic, too.
Good.
Had us cooking for hospitals and all of this. So when the space became available, we were able to bring them into the fold to, like, grow this space.
Do people come in and just kind of hang out? I mean, you've got seats and all that jazz, right?
People
the old place, you know, Grand Central Market's great, but there's a lot of hubbub. It's not a place where people, you know, can sit and enjoy and
no, this is relaxing. It's like peaceful.
Right.
It's calm. With the market, I mean, it's still so great to still be on the same block.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that this becomes a place where even when people are visiting, it's like when you see a cheese shop, it means somebody lives here. Because people, it's like you might eat street cheese, not off the street, but like, you know, you're cruising around.
I'm unfamiliar with that phrase, street cheese.
Yeah, street cheese. You know, you're just like cruising around, nibbling on a piece of cheese.
Fair enough.
You know, like, oh, I got a long day. I need some good protein. So, yeah. Life is always better with cheese.
You're like all cheese all the time.
Yeah, all cheese all the time.
Are you more stable now? I guess is my question. Right, you've made this big investment. You've moved, and emotions and cheese aside, you got to run a business. And and we can talk flippantly, I suppose, about your emotional investment in this, which has been demonstrated over the years. Right, we've talked about that. But are you in a better place now for your business?
Yes. I know we can do it. We have the right team. We have the right people. It feels like the right time. There's so much excitement. So it's like the nuts. I know I keep talking emotion. It's like hard for me. It's so hard to separate it. It's like we'll work till it doesn't work. Like we'll sell this till it's like there's a lock on the door. I hope people come in here. I hope people think like shop small.
Did you do market research or did you say, I want to be near my apartment and near my old place?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'd like to walk places. The market research is just, I mean, I think we got a little
around,
bit of a...
Right? That's basically what you did.
The head start with opening Kippard next door. And that was when a friend was closing his bar. We just thought, like, oh my gosh, like our neighborhood can't lose a little bar.
All right, so we're going to the bar in a second, yeah. but I do want to touch on this. You are now more than just a cheesemonger, right? You're a little entrepreneurial hotspot here with the bar and the new place, right?
And then, you know, Cheese Cave in Claremont.
Yeah.
But I think it's like all through the eyes of a cheesemonger. So it's like, what would a cheesemonger do, right? So
I'm sorry to laugh. What a cheesemonger. I'm going to get that on a bracelet.
Yeah, like it's just like if you, because a cheesemonger, it's like knowing the history. So it's not just a piece of cheese, even though it's just a piece of cheese. So even with the list, when my sister and I were writing the wine list, it was like, oh, let's just focus on bubbles. And everybody thought like, oh, you know, you should do this or this. And I was like, you know what? We're going to celebrate that we're still here. We're going to like serve 10 bubbles by the glass. We're going to just have a wild time.
No joke. All right. Sandwiches on Marketplace. Who's having?
Woohoo!
Honestly, I skipped breakfast today because I knew I was coming here. I knew I was coming here. Can I have one of those, please? And also a demi baguette.
I did also visit Kippered, by the way, Lydia's bar next door with all that champagne and 80-plus types of tinned fish. I am still a little floored by the whole tinned fish thing. Do not at me about it being the new thing. Coming up.
Oh, and we have to put in a working toilet.
Well, yeah, you do. First, though, let's us do the numbers. Dow Industrial's off 231 points today, about 0.7%, 33,055. The NASDAQ dipped 160 points, that's 1.25%, 12,560. The S&P 500 subtracted 47 points, about 1.1%, 41.45. Remember, productive is the macroeconomic word of the day. If you're a fan of using GIFs, I said it, as a means of expressing yourself in group texts or messaging platforms, you might be interested in this next bit. Image licensing company Shutterstock agreed to buy Giphy, that's popular database and search engine for the animated images, from Meta, which is, of course, the parent company of Facebook. The price was $53 million. Meta was forced to sell Giphy after regulators over in the UK ordered it to undo its purchase of that company. Stock in Shutterstock, say that 10 times fast, gave back 1.5% today. You are listening to Marketplace. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts. This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The Colorado River, according to researchers at Arizona State University, supports $1 trillion worth of economic activity every year and 1.5 million jobs. That safely, I believe, qualifies it as a major economic engine. So it was news this week that after months of negotiations and a couple of blown deadlines, there is finally a deal on how to use the dwindling water that the Colorado supplies. California, Nevada, and Arizona will massively cut their use in return for more than $1 billion from the federal government, it should be said. The deal is for 3 years. But then? Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports on what might come next.
This proposal could save the river system from imminent collapse, says Kyle Rowrink with the nonprofit Great Basin Water Network. But in the long term,
what the best scientists on the river say is that we're likely to lose another 20% of the river in the coming decades because of climate change.
And the legal framework that's governing the Colorado right now doesn't account for that. It's also never really reflected how much water is actually in the river, says Sarah Porter with the Kyle Center for Water Policy.
If you add up all the water that people have rights to use, it exceeds the average flows from the river. So it's overallocated.
But the basin has a chance to turn that around, because in 2026, the current drought management guidelines will expire.
I think it's a huge opportunity.
Now, Porter says, stakeholders in the basin, including cities, agricultural communities, tribes, and utilities, will have a chance to rewrite the rules.
To get out of this danger zone that we've been in, where we're flirting with no hydropower production or Deadpool.
And those talks could look a lot different than the Colorado River Compact negotiations 100 years ago, says Andrew Curley at the University of Arizona.
What I think is important is that we create political arenas where tribes have equal voice with states.
Curley says tribal nations in the basin have been excluded from management decisions for decades. Now, they'll likely insist on a more meaningful role.
My only fear is, and I think this is a fear of many tribal leaders, is that there's going to be less water to negotiate with.
Kyle Rowrink with the Great Basin Water Network says stakeholders should be racing towards solutions.
The officials have fired the gun, but nobody is sprinting out of the gates. Everybody is walking. That's kind of what it feels like.
He says these talks should be treated like crisis negotiations. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Got some new numbers on home sales this morning. The Department of Housing and Urban Development says new home sales were up better than 4% last month from March, up almost 12% from a year ago. That puts us, should you be curious, at a 13-month high for buying brand new houses. But for some, the appeal of a new home has very little to do with its age. That brings us to the latest installment of our series, Adventures in Housing.
My name is Candace Sides, and as of 2 months ago, I became a resident of Jasper, Georgia, in a beautiful log cabin that isn't actually inhabitable yet, but it will be soon, and it's going to be a fun adventure. So we looked for 4 months for land up in the North Georgia Mountains. I just wanted that mountain view. And since we've been traveling in an RV, we'll live in an RV on the land while the house is being built. And we couldn't find land that allowed us to be in an RV. Or if it did, it was too steep. There was always something wrong with it, or someone put in a better offer at the same time we did. And we opened up the search to include places that might have like a single wide on it, or a house that was dilapidated, something that we could get rid of. And that's when I saw the cabin for the first time. The cabin is going to need a lot of TLC. Anything that was not the original log cabin has to be taken down to studs, if not farther, and redone. There's black mold all in the upstairs. It has a little bit of water damage to it, and the whole upstairs leans to the side. And the two side rooms, literally both rooms, have holes in the roof and holes in the floor from where the water just dripped through. Oh, and we have to put in a working toilet. When it comes to cost, I wouldn't be shocked if it's around $75,000 to $100,000 just in the renovation parts of it. But it's probably going to cost this the price of a house by the time it's done. My realtor knows that we're a bit different. And I presented her with this cabin. She's like, I had actually already seen it and thought of you for it, but wasn't sure if you were brave enough. It seems crazy. People think of old houses as haunted and creepy. When I walk in, I get this warm comfort feeling. Even my son, one of the first times we walked up, there's giant tree size poles for the front porch. And my son hugged it and said, "Hello, cabin," and then starts walking in. He's 8 years old. There's something that draws us to it. And it was actually part of a city that is no more. And our cabin was the blacksmith's home. So there's so much history here that needs to be preserved. You know, if we don't do it, it's lost. And at 197 years old, maybe 196, that needs to be saved.
Candace Sides and her log cabin in Jasper, Georgia. Hey, have you had an adventure in housing? We would love for you to tell us about it. You can do that at marketplace.org/adventures-in-housing. This final note on the way out today, in which I'd be lying if I said I hated this. You remember how early-ish in the pandemic, once we all got okay with eating at restaurants outside, menus all of a sudden went digital, scan the QR code that's on a sticker in the middle of the table and pull it up on your phone? Saw this in the New York Times today, that one company that makes and hosts all those digital menus says the total number of scans of QR codes is down 27% from the beginning of April to mid-May this year compared with last, and that about 75% of their existing QR codes are essentially dormant. All right, we're going. Here, though, is your moment of economic context. Words that will no doubt strike fear into the hearts of millions. After piloting this overseas, Netflix said today it's going to start cracking down on password sharing here. To quote the first line of their email, which, to be clear, I have not yet gotten, "Your Netflix account," the company writes, "is for you and the people you live with, your household." So there you go. Our digital and on-demand team includes Carrie Barber, Dylan Mithen and Janet Wynn, Olga Oxman, Ellen Rolfes, Virginia K. Smith and Tony Wagner. Francesca Levy is the executive director of that branch of the Marketplace Empire. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. This is APM. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.